right. So, hey, listen, tonight we wanted to do something. If this is your first time here, tonight's a great night for you. Maybe you've been coming to the church for a little while now, and hopefully this is an encouraging night for you as well. But tonight we are doing something a little bit different that we don't normally do here at the church. We recognize that there's lots of new people that come in and out of these doors here, and a lot of you guys may not have a chance to feel like you know some of the pastors here, that you may not feel like you can connect with us. Maybe you think we just teach and we're not approachable, and none of those things are true. What we wanted to do this evening was give you guys kind of just a snapshot into my life. My name's Steele Crosswhite. This is Tony D'Amico and Austin Fredrickson. We're three of the location pastors here at the church. This is Ben Mazaris. He's one of our deacons. And so tonight, what we wanted to do is just do something called Meet the Pastors. And so what you guys can expect here for the next 35 or so minutes is just some questions that maybe you guys might have had by coming to this church, or maybe you're brand new, maybe you've been coming for a little while and you've been interested in asking us a question and maybe feel like you haven't had a chance to do so. We want you guys to know, as your pastors, that we love this church, that we're loyal to you, we're committed to you, and we're just regular guys that love Jesus. And so what we want, hopefully, to accomplish this evening by doing this is just show you guys in maybe a unique way that we just want you to know we're available to you. We want to serve you in this church. We want you guys to feel like you can talk to us, you can call us, you can email us. Maybe you already feel like that. If you don't, hopefully tonight will help you in some of those things. It says in Hebrews that you ought to follow your leaders. And with that kind of charge in the Bible, we thought maybe you should know a little bit more about us. And so you can expect that this evening for the next couple of weeks thereafter, as is tradition in the church. At the new year, we're doing our Win, Build, Send series. We're going to have Bill Young from Draper come, Josh Whitney from the Taylorsville location come. I'm going to be teaching in the next couple of weeks here just about what we've been experiencing in 2015, where we're going in 2016. And so we're just really glad that you're starting the new year here with us in this church. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ben. He's going to interview us here, and hopefully this is encouraging. Again, if this is your first time here, we just want you guys to know that we're normal people that love Jesus, and you guys can walk away and say, hey, I know a little bit more about the pastors. So with that set up, Ben, why don't you ask us some questions?
Let's do it. You're in my hands now.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, I am. Thanks for that.
Cool. Well, first, let's do some introductions. Just people may not know who you are. So let's get the hard question out of the way first. Can you take off your glove, Steele, and tell me what's going on there?
You want to ask about...
What's up with the hand? Because inevitably, anybody who's new here is going to come up to you and talk to you, and they're going to be staring at your hand and not able to actually have a conversation. So let's get it out of the way.
Thanks, Ben, for the first question being about my mutated
baby. This is how the whole
hand.
Night's going to go, by the way. It's going to be great.
Well, my name's Steele Crosswhite, and I'm one of the pastors, and I have a baby hand. And so I'm not weird about it. I was born this way. In my mom's womb, the story goes that I was laying on the left side of my body, and my hands and my hand and my chest did not get developed fully. When I was three, these two fingers here, they were webbed together. Actually, I told this to my six-year-old son yesterday. I was telling him about my fingers, how they were webbed together. He asked me, were you a good swimmer?
Oh, yeah.
I was super
I
fast,
was.
Buddy. Anyway... This finger has no fingernail on it, so what I like to do sometimes is take some hair out of a brush and put it on top of it and pretend like I'm Ted Koppel for the night. I draw a little face on this guy. This is my thumb. I don't know if you can zoom in on that. It looks like a mutated bird claw. This is me giving peace. Peace. I pretend that this one is Dino the dinosaur. This one always fascinates the crowds. This is an eagle. And I'll leave all the inappropriate ones for another time.
There are more?
No. Anyway, sometimes... Okay, so one more thing. I'll say, in song, I'll say, if the big hand can't, the baby hand can. Sorry, that was weird.
That's really good. So this is Steele Crosswhite, everybody. Yeah, he's one of the pastors of the Rock. Give him a hand, because he's got one and a half.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. So, Tony...
Sorry, I have one comment about this.
All right, go for it.
So the first time, well, I hung out with Steele for a little bit, and I knew he had a baby hand, and I had to buy him some snowboarding gear.
Oh, I remember this.
Yes, yeah. And it came down. This is why you all, if you ever hang out with Steele, at one point you will have to have the conversation. And I had to buy him some gloves. And I said, so what about the little hand? He's like, my baby hand? I just need mittens, and we're okay. So.
Wait, can I say one more story? Sorry, I want. Okay, the last thing.
For going
Maybe this
nowhere.
Is a bad idea. Never mind, I'll tell the story. Okay,
all right, anyway.
Go for it.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, Tony, how Italian are you really? Like, super Italian, right?
Yes. My full name is Anthony Vincent D'Amico. My family is from
what
Sicily.
What are your kids' names?
Leonardo Vincent and Gianni Lionel. We went with the French name, but there's a reason why Lionel is there, but yes.
Have you ever had anything in your life besides pasta or pizza?
No.
Chipotle?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that. Yes. Pizza and pasta. Yes, I am very much Italian. My grandmother, though, on my mom's side was actually Polish, and so I do have a little bit of Polish in me, which is great, too, but my dad's side's all Italian, and my mom's side was 50%.
And you brew beer, too, right? That's, like, one of your big hobbies?
Yes.
What did you just make?
Lagunitas beer, but the thing is, it's good to do, you know? Martin Luther did it. I'm just following in the footsteps of some of those theologians.
Hey.
I love to cook, and it's kind of one of those things where you don't get to taste it along the way because it's a huge process. You have to, like, mathematically think about it before you make it, and it's fun.
So,
yes, thanks. Yes, anywho.
Awesome. So, Austin, some people might not know this about Austin, but he's probably the most qualified person to be a pastor here because, no offense.
None taken, pal.
But Austin has been in an actual shipwreck,
yes.
Like the Apostle Paul. Which qualifies him more than the others, as we know in Acts. They say, like, a pastor should have been in a shipwreck. That as well, yeah. So tell us about the shipwreck, how that happened.
40 days I spent at sea, adrift. I'm actually really embarrassed about this story. I grew up in Michigan, right by Lake Michigan, and it looks like an ocean, really. I mean, it's so big, and there's big waves and everything. And I bought a sailboat, and I was a little bit reckless, but I was learning and growing and understanding the wind and the waves. And my brother was home from college, and he said, let's go out. And I thought, this is a bad idea. The waves are too big. And we went out, and let's just say no one was hurt. And we made it to shore, but the boat didn't survive. But I went back a few days later, and I found the boat washed up on shore. And I dragged it home, and it lived at my parents' house for a good 10 years, and just like an image of my shame.
Where's the boat now?
I think they sold it for like $100.
A shipwrecked boat goes for $100 these days?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And you're making your own card game, is that right? That's pretty nerdy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm a total nerd, so I love it. Tell us about it.
Cones of Dunshire?
Exactly. No, at work, I work at an architectural firm, 9 to 5, and during lunch we play board games just as a way to unwind and relax and kind of get to know other people in the office. And so I thought, hey, it might be fun to invent a game of myself, and so we're testing it and trying it out. It's kind of fun. It's way more intense than I ever thought it would be. It's really hard.
That's rad. So one question for all of you, and you can take the first one and then pass it down. What's the best movie of 2015?
Well, we just had a baby, and I haven't really seen movies, really. All I saw was Star Wars.
Sweet.
But I just watched Rescuers Down Under. That was a really
Those are
movie.
Joanna's eggs! It's a great movie. Tony?
Because I have a really short memory, and I saw Star Wars twice, I'll have to say Star Wars.
Nice.
Yeah, Star Wars, no doubt. It's amazing. I've seen it twice. Come on, guys. You know you love Kylo Ren.
You're all wrong. It's Mad Max Fury Road,
okay.
Hands down,
right.
Is the best movie of 2015. All right, best album of 2015.
Let's see. I would tend to say the best album of 2015. Well, statistically, it's Adele, and it's amazing. The new record's incredible. But I would probably lean to, personally, anything that Ryan Adams has done in 2015. He did the remake of Taylor Swift's 1989, which was really sad, but I thought was really, really great. So that would be my personal favorite. Nice chagrin look you just gave me. I'm looking at you, sir.
I really enjoyed the Knowing Jesus release, actually.
Plug it.
And that was not a paid promotion. that, and I listen to music too much, I guess, so I hear a lot of music, but I really like the Monsters and Men record, too. But yes, the Knowing Jesus record was pretty awesome, so.
Yeah, if you went by plays on my iTunes, it would definitely be Ryan Adams, nice. The Taylor Swift cover album. But we just got Adele, the new CD, and we've been playing it a lot in the car, and so my son says, "Hello, outside." he just keeps on singing that, so that's what we've been jamming lately.
Well, that's nice, but you guys, once again, are all wrong. The correct answer is the soundtrack to Mad Max Fury Road. It's the best album of 2015. Thanks very much. So let's move on to some family and personal life questions. Let people know a little bit about your background and what they don't always see around here and whatnot. So tell me a little bit, Austin. Who are you married to? How long you been married? Who are your kids?
Yeah, I'm married to the prettiest girl in the room. I don't know if you've seen her. Her name's Lydia. We've been married for 4. Going on 5 years, I think.
Good job, Austin.
Nice save, buddy.
I lose track of time. man, I just love her so much. And we have 2 boys. Our youngest is Boaz Nathaniel. And then we have Hezekiah James. He's 2.5. And it's just, they're the biggest blessing in my life, for sure.
And a favorite family tradition you guys have created?
You know, that's something interesting. Just thinking about the holidays, when I was younger, we'd always make a birthday cake for Jesus, and we would sing happy birthday to Jesus at Christmas time.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool growing up, and I think it gave me a good understanding of actually what we're celebrating. And so we were talking about doing it this year. Lydia used to criticize our tradition. She thought it was a little weird, but she said now that we have kids, it makes total sense. It's really what Christmas is all about, and I think it's kind of interesting thing to sing happy birthday to Jesus. So,
that's cool. Tony, same questions.
Cool. So I met my wife when I was 14 years old, 15 years old. I've known her for a very long time. We got married in 2003. So we met in 1995. We got married in 2003, and we have 2 children, Leo and Gianni. And so it's weird when you start to tip the scale of knowing your spouse longer than not knowing your spouse. And so it's really cool, though, just to be able to be like, yeah, I married my high school sweetheart and we're still together, because statistically that doesn't happen. And so, she's awesome. Her name's Shannon, and if you ever met her, you know that she is a firecracker, and she's just simply amazing. And she'll probably take your photo at one point in your life. And if she hasn't yet, she will do it. So tradition-wise, and then also I have 2 Psycho Jack Russells for the dog lovers. Out there, yes, they're not fun dogs, but fun at the same time. Steele calls them Connie and Eddie, but their names are actually Chloe and Patty.
They're never going to die, ever.
They will not die.
They're 40 years old.
Yes, this is no joke. But family traditions, I don't know if we really have something specific, but we like to watch a lot of movies at home, and so we eat a bowl of popcorn every night. And so that actually came from the Han family. If you ever know the Hans, yeah, they make popcorn a lot, and we took on that. And so, yeah, we eat a lot of popcorn. And then also my wife loves breakfast food more than lunch or dinner, which is weird to me because I don't eat breakfast. So we do that a lot. We go out to breakfast a lot. That's just kind of a thing and eat donuts at Banbury Cross on my day off. That's kind of what we do a lot. A lot of food because I'm Italian. We eat a lot. That's what happens. So.
That's great. Let's see. I've been married for 11 years in June, so 10 and a half years, to my beautiful wife. Her name is Kim, and I still can't believe she said yes to me, which I really mean that. I married up, so I somehow got the better end of the deal. She's amazing. She is patient with me, with all of my isms, and very kind. She's musical. She's even more musical than me in many ways. I just love her. She loves Jesus. She's so faithful with her times with the Lord, and yeah, she's a powerhouse. She really is a hero. She's my hero. My kids, I've got 3 children. Jet is my oldest. He's 6. Liv is my only daughter. She's 4. And Sol, who's about 2.5, his ears are gigantic. His eyebrows are bigger. I say that with great affection. He looks like a bear. I shaved his head recently, so he looks even more like a bear. He's like, we call
We'll say, why do we have a family pet? Why is he? All my kids are awesome.
They're going to watch this someday.
I know, and they're going
to
be like.
The psychologist is going to point to this
moment.
They'll
high-five me. They'll be like, you're right, Dad. Let's high-five. So let's see. Yeah, right. I'm telling myself that today anyway. Let's see. As far as traditions, you know, I don't know that we have a lot of actual traditions. My wife would probably answer that differently, and my memory's kind of bad, but I can tell you something we do on a regular basis that's very unique to us. We do what are called dance-offs. So in the middle of the day or whatever it is, you know, my wife, she homeschools my oldest boy, and I work often out of my home. And so whatever time of the day it is, you could just kind of sense when things are getting tired in the day, I'll just stop it. I'll say, we're doing a dance-off right now. It's dance party, and I'll turn on the music as loud as I can. We'll just do a lot of these, you know. And we'll put on some, you know, some fun music, and the kids love it.
Favorite
and then, of course,
dance
I kind
song.
Of happy. You know, I'm happy. That song, yeah. I don't even know who sings it. Oh, Farrell. Thank you, Farrell. So we like that song.
Pharrell?
I don't know. Will
Farrell sings happy.
That would be awesome. Okay, so anyway, we do that as a tradition, I suppose.
Cool. Tell me about what your quiet time routine looks like. I know a lot of people have quiet time routines and do different things. Like, what time of day do you usually read, and what's your process?
So my personal devotion is what we're talking about here. Yeah. The language of the Rock that we often use is quiet times. I don't know where we got that. That's it's very unique to the Rock, I guess. But anyway, for the last twelve years or so, I am. I have done the one-year Bible, and so I'm fairly faithful with it by God's grace. Every day, it's you can get it at a bookstore online, Barnes & Noble, or you can even print off the PDF. It just gives a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, a psalm and a proverb every day. I've read that for the last 12 or so years. That's kind of the way I read the Bible, and then I'm a prayer walker most of the time. I could say probably 5 to 6 days a week. I'll wake up pretty early in the morning. I'll read that. It takes about 15 or 20 minutes or so. I'll think about a verse, maybe out of that, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm or Proverb that kind of sticks out to me for that day, and then I'll spend, for me, I like to walk and talk out loud like a crazy person, but I walk and pray at usually around my neighborhood or down in a park, and yeah, I do that for about 30 minutes or so.
You put in a Bluetooth headset?
I do now. Now I do. Yeah, I put in the headphones so it looks I'm just talking on the phone. Yeah. Got a direct line to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Power of the Holy Spirit beats AT&T. Yeah. Anyway.
Somewhat similar. I usually do a one-year plan, but not the traditional one-year plan. Like this year, I'm going through one called, it's Book of the Bible. And so it's an Old Testament and then a New Testament book. Because I have so much going on in my brain all the time. If I start reading more than one thing, I start to go a little crazy. So I focus on one book at a time, and then I go through that. I'm not as regimented as most people. I try to fit something in every single day, but I can't say I wake up every day at 6:30 and I read my Bible. Sometimes it's fluid. So someday it is at 6 a.m. Sometimes it's at 10 at night. Or it's at 12 in the afternoon, but I try to do something every single day. And because I am pretty neurotic with checklists, I actually have a plan that's printed off and that I can fill in a checkbox. I think it's just because we're all gamified now, right? So everything we do is based off an app. And so it's I can press a button and record that. So I do that. And then I have a prayer journal as well. So I actually write down, if anyone ever asks me to pray for them, I put it in an Evernote program. And I've been doing that for actually the last couple years. So it's kind of fun to look back at what I've been praying for and see the answered prayers and the stuff that God's protected me from. And I talked a little bit about that in my message this last week. But that's kind of how it looks for me. It's just kind of fluid. And every year I change it up a little bit. I might do I'm just going to do a New Testament this year or whatever it might look like. So just always I say, pick a plan and stick to it. But have a plan, because if you don't plan, you plan to fail, right? Yeah, yes. Words of the wise.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I've done that I think has been the most fruitful and then what I'm doing now and why. For a while, I was a couple of times I did 10 chapters a day throughout the entire Bible, and you get through the Bible in 4 months. And my plan was to continue doing that all the time. But then having kids and pastoring, it became, I wasn't able to do it. It was a lot of time. And so what I just started now is a chronological one-year Bible, which I'm really excited about because I've never read the Bible through chronologically. And so I think that'll give me a different perspective. But man, when I was doing the 10 chapters a day, that was just so fruitful in my walk with the Lord and understanding the Bible as a whole and, you know, just soaking up a lot of the word. But now with sermon prep, I was like skipping days and having a hard time just getting through. And so I was getting off my plan. And so I've kind of gone back and said, I'll do a one-year Bible so I can, you know, do the 3 or 4 chapters a day and actually make it through and stick to my plan. So,
cool. So, Steele, if you were in an elevator with somebody and they asked you how you got saved and you had the elevator ride to tell them how you got saved or how you came to know Jesus, what would you tell them?
Wow, that's a great question. In an elevator ride, I would say... I realized at a young age, at 12 years old, that even then I sinned against God. My sister brought me to a church, and it sounded too good to be true. I prayed to receive Jesus, and he changed me immediately. And then when I was about 24, 25 years old, I understood that God really, really, really loves me. And once I understood that, I started to live for him. So that's the way my elevator ride would go. And then I'd say, don't go, don't go. Stay, let's talk more.
Same question, yeah.
Oh, it's that's so hard to answer that in a couple seconds. So my salvation story would be like the length of my life up until the age of, similar to Steele's, 24. I grew up in a Christian home. I understood what grace meant, and I would say that I was one of those people who actually abused grace, in essence. Like, I understood who Jesus was. I understood the need for grace. But I also lived inside of that grace a little too much. And I really never was really convicted of my personal sin. But as I started growing older, there was certain things that started happening in my life, and Jesus really started to get a hold of my heart. And then there was a specific instance where I was in California, and it was a weird circumstance. I needed a place to stay. And someone invited me over to their home randomly. They noticed that. They're like, oh, do you need a place to stay? And we're like, we don't know you, but yeah, sure, it sounds great. And they happened to be Christians. And in that, they invited a friend over who was going to school to be a pastor. And he just kind of posed the question and said, what are you doing with your life? And that really struck me. And at that point, I felt like God really got a hold of my heart, and I was really understanding what he had for my life, and a lot changed at that point. And from there, I would say that I've been on that life of sanctification. So, yeah.
This must be a tall building.
Short story, too.
When I was 4 years old, we were driving in our wood-paneled station wagon. Awesome. And, yeah, my older brother told me I was going to hell if I didn't accept Jesus. And I just remember thinking, like, yeah, I know I'm bad, and I know I do bad things, and I know, like, I hurt my parents' feelings, and he told me that Jesus takes that all away. And I just remember thinking, I need that. And so I was 4 years old, and I remember praying with my brother that I needed to accept Jesus' grace and his forgiveness and to make me right with God. But it wasn't really until I was... much older, when I first started coming to the Rock in 2008, when I really started to live for Jesus every single day and follow him with all my heart. And similar to Tony, it was just, I kind of had a moment where I was doubting a little bit and thinking, do I really believe this? Is this really what my life is all about? Is this really what's right? And I was standing right over there, and I just thought, this is all there is. This is like something I need to give my life to. It's following Jesus, so.
That's cool. So in one sentence, tell me, each one of you guys, what's the best thing about being a pastor and what's the hardest thing about being a pastor?
Knowing people, for both of those. I'm the type of person that really likes people, and it's really awesome to get to know people, but it's also... it's really, hard to see heartbreak.
Yeah.
And so I just want everybody to be okay. Yeah. And sometimes it's hard when it's not. So.
Yeah, that's one sentence. I would have to say it's the same as Austin's, like people. It's for both, like being able to serve the church and serve all of the people here and all of you guys out in this crowd and do the things that I could do.
It's a run-on sentence. Sorry.
Yeah. We'll just keep saying and. It's people, and it is. It's hard, like, when you're dealing with a lot of heartbreak and just things, and you just want people to understand who Jesus is so badly, and it's right in front of them, but they just can't see it. And you see that their life starts to go in a different direction than it should. But then the flip side is it's so awesome to see when it goes the good direction and people come to know Christ and they live their life for Christ. And so you guys are all awesome, and I love you. And that's, like, that's a huge part. It's all a blessing to me in that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
You guys are heroes, man. So the best part of being a pastor is I feel like I know Jesus so much. Yeah. I don't feel, I'll just be honest with you guys, I've shared this before, but I don't feel qualified to be a pastor. Yeah. And I think I've been a pastor now for 8 years, and there is not one day that has gone by that I have not second-guessed my ability to be able to do this, which I every day say, I don't think I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. And then the sweet part of that, the best part of that, is that I get to go to Christ and tell him that. I don't understand how I'm going to do this. Yeah. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. Or I'm nervous about this. Or I'm excited about this idea. And I feel like I feel like the Lord just knows me. And it's because of my sense of inability. And so I feel like the best part is, Lord, you know, I get to be close to you. If anything, I'm just out here every day talking about how insecure I am. And so that plays into the hardest thing about being a pastor. It is without question that it's sin is part of it. You know, when people choose not to follow Christ, it's just, you feel like you see it so many times. Like, here's life and here's death. Choose life. Go to Jesus. And inevitably, sin inside of us or around us just takes people down here. It's like, this is going to kill you. Don't go there. And so obviously, when people make that choice, that is the second hardest thing for me. The first hardest thing for me is me, is that I constantly second guess my ability. And so it's anxiety. It's that, like, am I doing a good job? Are we doing better? How could I do that? And then that's a burden. That is the burden of the church for me. But then to be able to turn then to Christ and say, Lord, you are what I got is the best part of it.
Cool. If you had the chance to ask God one question and that was it, just one single question, what would you ask him?
Oh, man. Wait for it. If I could ask him one question, I think maybe I'd say, why me? Why'd you save me? Why'd you change me? What? Tell me about that mystery. Because we all know that's pretty hard to do.
Right.
Why me?
Can I take a pass on this one? Wow. I don't know. Lots of questions. Why can't we time travel? Yeah, I really don't know. I think I'd probably lean towards what Steele said, and I'm not just stealing your answer, but yeah, why there's so many like things that why was I placed where I was placed in my life at this specific point in time? Because it's weird to think about this planet is, you know, X amount of years old, and I've been placed at this specific point in time for a specific purpose, and it's like why? And it is kind of an interesting thought. But yeah, I think that's it, and time travel, because that would be fun.
Yeah.
I think I've grown a lot in understanding who God is, but I still think if I was to meet God, I might say, who are you? Or tell me about yourself, just because I want to know him even more, and I think it'd be a really interesting answer to just God to reveal himself.
Can I have Austin's answer?
Yes. Okay. You can take it. So we all know that, like, one of the things I was really surprised about when I first came to The Rock was that it was a really easy place to come and ask questions. And I'd never been taught that before, especially in a church setting, that, like, I can come here and have doubts and have questions and talk to people about stuff and say, I don't understand God or what's going on here. So as pastors, I know you guys talk in conversation a lot with people about a lot of those questions. So what is a question or, like, a concern that you hear quite often from people who come to The Rock or who are skeptical or who aren't Christians, and, like, how do you usually answer that particular question?
When I meet people after the service or before the service, sometimes we'll talk about whether or not you can trust the Bible. And I think a lot of people have that question because you hear a lot of things in the news and online, and, you know, there's so much information out there and so many critics of the Bible. And so I think that comes up a lot, is can we trust the Bible? How do you know what you believe is the right thing? And I don't know that I have a really great answer for that, but I know for myself that I've never seen it proved false. And I know there's a lot of truth in it, and there's a lot of scientific backing. If you look in the right places and you're really searching for it, you'll find that the Bible is God's word, and it is his truth, it is how he reveals himself to us. So, cool.
Yeah, I think the question that I've had most in my life is just, is God real? So it's like doubting that, and so with doubt, a lot of people think, well, if I doubt that Jesus is real or God is real, then I can't believe in a God like that because I have to have 100% proof. And the thing for me, which is so funny to that, is, you know, in the Bible it says that we see him in creation. So we look outside and we see the mountains. And even my son, who's 7, he notices that. He's like, look at how beautiful the mountains are. God created those. And it's funny. So I get that a lot, like this doubt that, like, well, if he's real, then why are these horrible things happening? And as a Christian, I think a lot of times we even can be like, well, we can't doubt. We have to have 100% truth. But in all of our relationships, it is good to have a little bit of doubt, because inside of that, you can actually know that you really love something because you know both sides of it. And so I think that's, like, the biggest question I've always gotten from people is, you know, if I doubt, I can't believe in God. And I just don't believe that's true. I think that actually helps you have a better relationship with Christ in the long run. And so you can actually understand your faith, because when you doubt your faith, you can understand it even more, and it helps you build it more. And so as a non-Christian, it's the same as a Christian. So,
yeah, that's good. So if we're talking about what's a question that we hear often as pastors and how do we answer that, I think one that I hear all the time is, how can there only be one way? Yeah. How can there only be one way to heaven? Don't all roads lead to heaven? As long as you believe in something, isn't that good enough? Of course, here at the church, we believe in the Bible, and we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. We believe that he saved us from hell, and we believe that he gifted us eternal life. And that doesn't mean that we check people's passes at the door. We want people to come in and find out about God and doubt and question and come to reality with that. And so if that's you tonight, we're super happy that you're here. It's okay if you are still doubting and you are still wrestling with that question. I think the way that I would answer, how can there only be one way? And forgive how nearsighted this comparison is, but as a dad, you know, I'm a good dad, even in my mistakes. And when I ask my children to do something, the nicest, kindest thing for me to do is to tell them how to do it and to show them the one way. Otherwise, it's just a mass confusion of misunderstanding, of uncertainty, of not knowing how you're doing, where you're going, what is it about. But when it comes to a good dad, you know, a good parent, it's, hey, buddy, this is the way. Is there? No, this is the way. And I'm telling you that you can trust me and it's good. And so I feel like when we think about God from the perspective of not some sort of cruel dictator, but instead as he paints himself in the Bible as a loving father, what he's saying is, guys, this is the way. I want to make it clear to you. I'm only giving you one way. Why would I give you a life of uncertainty? I want you to know where you're going when you die. I want you to have peace here on this earth. I'm going to show you one way. His name is Jesus. I've settled the argument. Come be with me. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Last question, actually, and this one's for Steele. So last year, The Rock had lots going on, right? We split off and had a West Church plant, and we did a bunch of really cool food trucks and a couple album releases and went through a lot of the Bible. What are you most excited for 2016?
Yeah. You know, that's great, because I've been talking to the Lord about this. I think what I'm most excited about, guys, for this location, is what we're talking about as a church, is, you know, I really want to, I want to suck at trying really hard at building community. Does that make sense? And so I just want to, like, just suck at trying a bunch of stuff. I want us to grow together as a church. I don't want us just to come and partake on a Saturday night and go home. I want us to really love each other. I want us to be inside of people's homes. I want us to be educated in the things of Christ so that we can love God and love one another. And so when I think about what am I excited about for 2016, I think it's just us as pastors going like, well, let's try this at the core, and let's keep doing this in the small groups, and let's do this series, and let's do these hangout nights, and let's try this stuff to see if we can grow in love with each other and really grow in community. And so when I think about that in faith, I want to be able to say, hey, I think 2016, we're going to grow leaps and bounds in that. That's my prayer anyway. I want to see God answer that prayer. But when I think about what am I excited about, it's going, Lord, answer that prayer. Help this interesting church on a Saturday night right by the train tracks with all kinds of personalities and all kinds of different life experiences. Learn how to love each other if you have family, if you don't have family, if you're single, if you're married, if you're an addict, if you've never been addicted, if you're homeless, if you've got a home, whatever it is, figure it out with one another because we love Christ. And I'm excited to do that with you guys.
Yeah. Amen. Can we give these guys a hand? Give our pastors a hand?
Amen. So, yeah, so let me just go ahead. Guys, thanks so much. So again, tonight, the whole point was that you guys would get a chance to see into our hearts just a little bit more. Obviously, email us, call us, come talk to us. We really want to be servants of this church. In the next couple of weeks, please keep coming. We want to tell you about where we're going, where we've been as a church. And then after this next 4 weeks, we're going to kick into a 10-week series, I think that we're calling the Classics, that we're going to be taking a look at Bible personalities in the Word of God. So anyway, keep coming. We're glad that you're here. If you want to be a part of a small group, go to Connections booth, sign up tonight, and prayer. If you want prayer, we'll be right up here after the service. So let me pray and thank the Lord, and you guys can go. God, thanks so much for tonight. Thank you that you've called us by your strength to be shepherds of this church. Thank you that you're teaching us each day what that means. Lord, we thank you for your glory. We thank you for bringing in the people into this church tonight. God, I pray that you would continue to grow us in community and authentic love for you and for one another. Thank you that I get to be a pastor with these heroes of men in Tony and Austin. Thanks for Ben leading these conversations. We commit 2016 to you as a church. We ask you, Jesus, to amaze us as a church. Show us incredible things. Lord, we want to be amazed by you. We want to stand in awe of you. We say these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.